Chapter 99. Logan dispatched perhaps the 40th messenger of the day. Not being talented seemed to have saved him from the brunt of the cost the magi who'd used Curoc had borne. Half of them were still unconscious, including Kylar. Vi had a white streak in her fiery red hair now, and Dorian's hair was gone utterly white like Solon's, though Solon retained his sanity, while Dorian had completely lost his. It was perhaps the better part of why Logan had spared the man. Dorian had turned at the end, and he'd certainly saved Logan's life and the lives of everyone else. But they wouldn't have been in jeopardy if Dorian hadn't stolen Logan's wife in the first place. Or not in jeopardy today, at any rate. Scrubbing his hands through his hair, Logan almost knocked his new crown off. A soldier had found it, waiting in the castle, and had presented it to Logan, who'd lost his Cenarian crown in the fighting. They'd wanted to start the coronation celebrations to crown him High King immediately, but Logan insisted on taking care of his men first, and with Lantano Garawashi and Hideo Mitsurugi reporting to him, as well as one of the Magi telling him about the conditions of Kalidor's human soldiers, the number of men Logan regarded as his own had exploded. Mercifully, he also had the services of 8,000 sisters, most of whom had some ability with healing. With more than 1 in 10 of his people a healer, far fewer died than would have otherwise. And Curoc's magic had left them in a paradise where they'd expected a wasteland. Still, he'd had more than enough work to keep him busy until long after dark. Part of him was glad for it. It was one thing to raise an army to rescue your stolen bride. It was quite another to figure out how to repair a marriage when your wife had thought you dead, had remarried, and had been sharing another man's rule and his bed. Logan rubbed his temples again and set the crown down on a desk. He looked around the room and realized he had no idea where he was. He'd left an immense throne room and walked at random. Caldrosa Wynne and Nasher and several other bodyguards had followed him, but they'd said nothing as they took up their positions outside the door. He guessed they knew he needed nothing so much as a quiet place. He sat. There was a gentle knock, and the door opened. It was Janine. She looked small, fragile. Her face was gray. "Your Majesty," she said formally. "I'm pregnant."
"I know,"
Logan said flatly.
"Solon told me you bear Dorian's child.
I've just met with a healer. It's twins. Boys."
Her voice was wooden. It was a disaster. Sons. Nor would they be simple bastards who could be put aside. They were the offspring of a god king and a Cenarian queen, with ample claims to the High King's throne on the basis of their blood alone. Their very existence would be destabilizing. If Logan had sons of his own, it would only be inviting civil war.
"I found a healer who said... she said this early it would be safe to abort them."
Janine's eyes were dead.
"That isn't what you want,"
Logan said.
"There's more you have to know, Your Majesty,"
Janine said.
I loved Dorian. Not the way I loved you, but even as I watched him descend into the madness and evil, I cared for him. You can scrub his sons from my body, but I will not come clean so easily. I'm sorry. You waited for me, and I didn't wait for you. If you wish to put me aside, Your Majesty, I will make no trouble for you. And if you wish me to purge my womb, I will. My duty to my lord husband and my country is greater than my own.
I've always wanted to be a dad, Logan said.
What?
Can you love me, Jenny? She blinked up at him.
I love you so much it hurts.
Logan took her right hand in his left. You are my wife, my lady, my queen. He put his right hand on her stomach. Let these boys be my sons. She jumped into his arms and squeezed him so hard he coughed. Then they laughed together, and cried together, and sat talking together for hours until Logan asked a question and Jenny didn't answer. She was staring at his lips.
What?
He asked. He brushed his lips, but there was nothing on them. Then her mouth was on his, and there was roaring in his ears, and the room faded, and her softness and warmth was better than anything Logan had ever imagined. Somehow, she was on his lap, straddling him, and her hands were on his back, in his hair, on his face, always pulling him closer, and he was pulling her into him, crushing her against him, begging, demanding to be closer than clothes would allow. When he surfaced from that kiss, her eyes were warm, dark pools of desire, reflecting only him. Somehow her hair had become disheveled, but it had never been more perfect. He'd surfaced for a reason, but he had to kiss the curve of her neck, so he did. And then her throaty murmur demanded more kisses, and he gave them gladly, following the curving of her neck to his lips. Her back arched, and her hand was behind his head, pulling him down toward her breasts.
Damn, the girl knows what she wants. Guess Dorian taught her a thing or three.
What if Logan the Virgin doesn't measure up? It was like catching a lake of cold water on his lap. He must have tensed because she pulled back. She looked in his eyes. She knew.
Now I've spoiled everything.
It wasn't just one moment he had destroyed. He could have destroyed the easy, unfettered spirit of her sensuality. Every time they made love, she would have to be conscious of Logan thinking, did she learn this from Dorian? Was Dorian better?
I'm sorry,
she said. She swallowed, and he could see her wilting inside. He breathed.
I forgive you.
She moved to get off his lap, but he caught her and held her against him. It wasn't an emotion, it was a decision. He forgave her, even of the things that weren't her fault. This was too precious to let the past destroy it.
Jenny,
he said, as he had said the night of their wedding.
Jenny, will you kiss me?
She smiled and laughed and almost cried and kissed him, still laughing. She pulled away and beat her fists on his chest.
What?
Logan asked, alarmed.
You can't do this to me. I can't feel all this at once.
He grinned and felt that he was himself once again. The idealistic, noble Logan, and the wry, carefree Logan, and the fierce, primal Logan were being reunited, reintroduced to each other. And Logan would need all of them to be the man and husband and king that he wanted to be.
Then just feel this, he said.
He kissed her again, softly, slowly drawing her in, and in the pleasant blur of minutes that followed, they rebuilt their passion. The thoughts came again like buzzing flies, but Logan ignored them. No. You won't have this. This is precious. This is ours. As their kisses became more heated, those thoughts, and all thoughts, dimmed into the background and disappeared altogether beneath the scents of lavender and faint sweat, and her breath, and the feel of her weight on his lap, and her hands on his body, and her skin beneath his lips, and finally, the hands won through all the layers of skirts, and he felt slim, stockinged calves, and his fingers traced that silk up to silkier skin. Jenny moved her hips against him. Logan jumped to his feet and set Janine on hers. Eyes wide, he cleared his throat. "The royal apartments can't be far," he said. "If you can wait 5 minutes." Jenny grabbed him. They didn't wait. When Kylar opened his eyes, he was lying in a soft bed. High overhead, the ceiling was covered with an elaborate mosaic of a warrior hanging onto a titan's neck, a huge black sword drawn back in his hand for a killing blow. It was Kylar. But the mosaic was centuries old. Kylar turned. At first, he didn't recognize Vi. For the first time he'd ever seen, she wore her luxurious, wavy red hair, unbound. A single streak of it was stark white. She was seated beside his bed, holding his hand. Her green eyes closed in sleep. There were red tulips on the bedside table.